Thank you, Beth. As we continue through the season of Lent and through the Gospel of Mark, we have covered a lot of ground. We've talked about Jesus' teaching, we've talked about his baptism, we've talked about his proclamation of the kingdom of heaven, about stilling the storms, about his confrontations with the Pharisees, and we go through the continuing through the Gospel of Mark, we begin to see a pattern that I would like to talk to you about today, and we see it in the scripture lesson that you just heard about the widow, and that is humility. You know, humility is written all through the Gospel of Mark, and it's part of what we might call the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Culture is an interesting word, isn't it? Because we have our American culture over and against the culture of other nations. We have our Christian culture over and against people who are non-believers. We have our corporate culture. Many of you are in the military, and one of the most important things you can learn in the military is who to salute, right? And who to expect a salute from. In the corporate world, it's pretty much the same thing. We generally have a pyramidal structure, and who's on top is the person we figuratively, at least, salute to. I spent about 17 years in the healthcare delivery system as an administrator prior to becoming a minister. And when I decided to become a minister and go into seminary, I had to learn that church culture. I had to put away the corporate language and pick up the church language. And I had to put away the corporate ideals and values and pick up the church ideals and values. When I went to seminary, I could talk all day long about corporate ideals, and I could use that lingo of the company that I came from. But my first assignment in seminary was a two-page paper. You wouldn't think a two-page paper would be very much. But the title of the paper is, What is the Church? So I went back home, and I told Sue, I said, I have already a homework assignment. I need to write a paper on what is the church. Now, bless her heart, I know Sue meant to do well, but she said something which really didn't do me a favor at all. She said, oh, that's easy. It's, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. And I said, oh, that's great. Thank you very much. But I think, you know, in seminary, I might need to elaborate a little bit on that. And she said, well, good luck with that. That's all I have to give you. And for the rest of the night until about 3 o'clock in the morning, there I was staring at a blank computer screen with this song going through my head. What else can I say besides I am the church, you are the church? So I finally wrote this paper using the language that I was familiar with about the church is like a business. It's like a structure, and it talked a little bit about the structure and so forth. I handed it in. My professor wrote back, C, God bless you. That was the beginning of my seminary career, as I had to learn the culture of the church. Well, Jesus came into the world, and the first thing he said is, repent, change your ways, believe in the gospel, the kingdom is here. The rest of his ministry was talking about what the kingdom was like. The kingdom is not like the real world. I saw the other day a cartoon, an old Charles Schulz cartoon. I don't know if you can read that or not, so I'll read it for you. In the first frame, I think that's Linus and Lucy there. He changed his drawing style over the years. But Linus has a booth set up. It says Life, 5 cents. So he's set up to give advice, I guess. Lucy comes and says, well, here's my nickel. What do I get? And he says, nothing. I just ripped you off. What? He says, that's life. And then the last scene, you don't see what's going on, but you can imagine Lucy's getting her money's worth some way or another. That's life in this world, right? That's life in this world. But we need to know what Jesus had in mind when he talked about life in the kingdom of heaven. And so he started to teach us in parables and in healing people and in calming storms and in disobeying some of the conventions of the day, like healing on the Sabbath. He even taught us by dying. And in all of that, what we see in common is the act of humility. The word humility, or humble, comes from the Latin word humus, meaning soil. It's that kind of loose soil that has a lot of organic matter in it, and it's good for growing things, but it's basically dirt. And when we talk about being humble, we talk about reminding ourselves that it is from dirt that we come, that God took that dirt and breathed into us the breath of life and made us a little lower than the angels, not by any inherent worth on our own, but by the worth that God declares we have. So when Jesus came and proclaimed the kingdom of heaven, we would do well to learn humility and to see what that's like. As we listen to this story of the woman who gave her little two coins, we see somebody who was approaching with an attitude of humility. My guess is she would just as soon not be noticed at all. Meanwhile, the Pharisees and other temple leaders were coming in with their great wealth and putting a whole lot of money in there and calling attention to it, even sometimes with trumpets blasting as they approached the offering. We ought to do that more often, I think. Maybe not. It's not a kingdom kind of a thing to do, is it? Okay. When Jesus was teaching us, I'd like for us to consider three things that we can remember about humility. First of all, up is down and down is up. That's not like we're used to. Jesus came literally turning the world upside down by exalting the lowly and bringing down the exalted, and teaching us that we need to remember that in the kingdom of heaven, it is that widow giving her 2 cents that is more important to God than all of the others who are bringing their flashy wealth. In this world, we have our pyramidal structure. And here I found an example. This is the ancient Jewish pyramidal structure with the temple leaders at the top, and the citizens and farmers and craftsmen in the middle, slaves and outcasts at the bottom. That's a very simplified structure, but you understand where you fit, right? You understand who to look down on. You understand who's going to look down on you. Jesus came to turn that structure upside down and said, whoever was on top is now on bottom. And it was disconcerting for those who were on top. It was, for those who were on bottom, what do you call it? Good news. And this is the good news that Jesus wants us to believe in, that in the kingdom of heaven, the things that used to keep us down are now lifting us up. In the kingdom of heaven, the people who didn't matter before now matter greatly. In the kingdom of heaven, it is our humility that pleases God more than our pride. So in the kingdom of heaven, things are just a little bit different. So I want to ask you, where do you fit in your hierarchy of things? I know where I fit in my household. I'm just below just above the dogs, and Sue's up there. But in the kingdom of heaven, we're all of precious worth to God. In the church, let's face it, the church is both a human institution and a godly institution. God, for whatever reason, chose to build the church with human beings. And as a corporate kind of a person, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind about how he chooses people to do his job, because we're not qualified. But it is in that qualifying of us, when he qualifies us, his name is glorified, that we can be the church that that brings in the kingdom of heaven, even though we're not very heavenly people. I love that. I love that we have a place in the kingdom of heaven, not by our own worth or by our own saintliness, but by the sheer fact that we are forgiven. We are a church that makes mistakes sometimes. Sometimes we show our human selves, such as when we argue about things that don't matter much in the kingdom of heaven. But every once in a while, we have this privilege of glowing with godliness when we can reach out and help other people, when we can bend down and help somebody who's down and lift them up, when we can offer an encouraging word to those who are discouraged. It is in those little moments that the kingdom of heaven shines out by us. People outside the church call us hypocrites, and we are. But sometimes they call us hypocrites because we don't live up to what we proclaim. As far as I'm concerned, we live up, we aspire to what we proclaim, and that's a whole lot better than not aspiring to anything. The second thing for us to realize after up is down and down is up is that the first are last and the last are first. The first are last and the last are first. I always think about that when we're having Wednesday night supper and the line goes all the way out the door of people wanting to eat. And it's interesting to me that that line just keeps on going, you know, as people are served, other people come in. And my hope is that those who are last get some food. And they do. But I remember a time in 1979 when Richard Petty was not doing so well. He was a great race car driver. He had already won 5 Daytonas. But that year he was on a losing streak. He had 45 consecutive races that he lost. There at the Daytona 500, he was hoping to redeem himself, but at the closing minutes of the race, he realized that he was no better than third place, and he was 30 seconds behind Donnie Allison and Cale Yarborough, who were fighting it out for number one. Cale and Donnie were going back and forth and trading places and really fighting it out until one bumped into the other, and the next thing you know, their cars are swerving into the infield, and there they jump out of their cars and start duking it out. And Richard Petty cruised in to win the Daytona 500. Maybe this is an example of the first being last and the last being first. And maybe it's a lesson for us to learn that when we want to serve God, it is keeping our priorities in place that help us to do what God and succeed what God wants us to do. Cale and Donnie were so busy trying to beat each other, they forgot that the objective was to win the race, and they started beating on each other. Richard Petty never lost sight of the checkered flag at the end. Now is a good time for us to ask ourselves, what are our kingdom priorities? What do we try to accomplish? The third thing is, it's not what you gather, it's what you get. The widow had not gathered much, but what she gave glorified God. And as it is in our church and in the kingdom of heaven, it's not the accumulation of our things that's important. It's how much we serve and how much we give. I saw a t-shirt the other day that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I like that. That's a good earthly kind of a thing to do. But there's another way to say it. He who dies with the most toys still dies. And then what? What can we say to God as we approach His throne of grace? So for us, how can we be the kingdom of heaven here on earth? I know we're all just humans. God knew that too. When he became a human to connect with us and live with us and show us what it means to truly be human. And from that, we can glimpse these images of what it's like to rise above ourselves out of the humus from which we came to be a little lower than the angels. The week after Easter, we'll have this Faith in Action Sunday. Now, I don't have any dreams that we might go out to Fort Walton Beach and solve all the problems that we have. But I do want to make a statement to the world that this is what we are about. That the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be served, and we are following in his footsteps. That we are never more human than when we recognize and validate the humanity of other people, even those people that are different from us. We can do this in each and every one of our individual lives, in the way that we deal with other people, and in the way we, as a corporate church, can serve as the body of Christ. Let this be our mantra. Let this be our proclamation that we are God's children, that we are made in the image of God, and God called that good, and we bring out our goodness when we follow Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and the one who showed us the way to serve, even all the way to the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.